we've made it to hour number three. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. We're with you for another 2 hours as we're just kicking off the second half of the program. Look forward to bringing you some comments from both the Vols and Lady Vols as Olivier Cumwa was made available before the team headed out to Colorado. So we'll have comments from him. Also, we have the post-game remarks from a trio of Lady Vols as they were made available after Tennessee's win over Tennessee Tech, as Coach Brown was pointing to. They have a nice showdown with Virginia Tech on Sunday, but talk about what their experience has been and thus far being off to a perfect start for Tennessee, as the Lady Vols are number 10 in one poll, number 11 in the other. But right now we do want to focus on the gridiron, as we will see championship games playing out. We're not talking about high school football. We're talking about conference championship games that will shape the one final four for the college football playoff, but then allow the pecking order to start, well, first of all, to be assimilated, and then see which teams go where representing their respective conferences when it comes to the lineup that we'll see start before you know it. But Tennessee, obviously, in the mix, 7-5, finished third in the Eastern Division, and a lot of momentum for the program, which you always know, Vince, is so well represented when it goes bowling, and that's going to be a huge feather in Tennessee's big orange cap.
Yeah, Tennessee would be welcomed by any of these bowls, and they're going to fall somewhere in that upper end of the middle to upper end of the pool of six, as they call it, after the New Year's Six. Then it's the Verbo Citrus Bowl that will get to make their selection on who they want. And then after that, the SEC takes over. And the SEC takes their feedback from each of the bowls, who submit a list of the top teams that they want. And so do the schools. They submit the top bowls that they'd like to go. And then the league tries to make all those puzzle pieces work and put it all together. And there's a lot of factors involved, and it is fluid. I know you used to hear, hey, Tennessee is going to go play here, or this team is going to go play here. You saw a lot more reporting ahead of time where a school might go. You don't see it as much. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is something that I don't think gets discussed enough, is that this is the league's decision on where to put these schools. It's very different. For example, the Outback Bowl has SEC versus Big Ten. Mm-hmm. The Big Ten basically has a pecking order, and then they allow the bowls to choose from that pecking order. So you have a better idea of who might go where. Whereas the SEC, they're waiting to see how it all shakes out, and then saying, all right, this team now, based on what happened this weekend, would be matched up with this team in this bowl. We don't want that. Or they already played in the regular season, so then we're going to move them down a slot, or they don't want to say down, but yeah, over a slot to a different bowl. And then you start changing, and then there's all these moving parts. And what's interesting about Tennessee is that could potentially happen for their candidacy for the Gator Bowl. If Pittsburgh was to lose in the conference championship game, ACC conference championship game, to Wake Forest, that could be a slot for Pitt. Well, Tennessee could be there, and that could very well work against Tennessee to potentially get to that bowl. But guess what? We don't know that yet.
Right.
So this is why everyone's like, where's Tennessee going to play in a bowl game? Where's Tennessee going to play in a bowl game? Got to see what happens all this weekend. Here's another example of what could change things, and that's Ole Miss. Right now, for most of us, we've assumed that Ole Miss is going to be in a New Year's Six bowl. Mm-hmm. But if there's chaos this weekend, or if the committee changes teams' rankings, like they move a team up based on what one team's opponent has now done and their strength of schedule, and they start changing that, and maybe the at-larges get eaten up with upsets. So, and maybe lesser teams end up getting the automatic bids in the New Year's Six with the conference slots. And so then the at-larges end up going to maybe a Notre Dame or a Michigan, and that could push an Ole Miss out. So what happens then? Now you thought, here's the plan we're going to have. Now Ole Miss is in the mix. They're a 10-win team.
Right.
So that could not only push teams down, but rework the whole puzzle. So what happens this weekend truly makes it a fluid situation. And that's why, you know, everyone says, where's Tennessee going to go? Where's Tennessee going to go? The Bulls don't know. Tennessee doesn't know. Sure, they have a short list idea of where they think they could fit, but it's not like they're just no one's saying anything. So I think it was really interesting talking to the Bull reps that I did, a number of them, and hearing sort of the similar type of things that are priority to them. Like I mentioned, they don't want to have the rematches within the year. Another thing that they never list anything as a total deal breaker, but one of the things they try to do is keep teams away from the same bowl too frequently. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the Gator Bowl's had NC State two of the last 3 years. So that probably won't work for them from that
standpoint. Might want to go ahead and just mark them off.
Right. So, and you know, Tennessee was there 2 years ago. Well, the Gator had NC State two out of 3 years. Does that mean they wouldn't take them, or is that still a possibility?
Yeah, or would they run to Tennessee for just the incredible scene that was? Because Tennessee took over the stadium. They had the incredible huge Vol walk that took place outside the venue as the team arrived. I mean, it really was something to see. But it's been really an evolution as to, okay, if Tennessee wins this game, then they might be here. But you start first at the lower end of what are the bowl agreements. And the Southeastern Conference, we should point out, it was one of the better tweets to see, and that was, congratulations, Vanderbilt. You're the only conference team that didn't get bowl eligible. 13 teams from the SEC are bowl eligible. And they have so many agreements that I think they've actually exceeded what their working agreements are. So I think they have 10 or 11, and they've got 13 teams that are up for grabs, and you always like to have that little emblem that you can put right there and say, yeah, we've got a Southeastern Conference club. But Tennessee went, you heard, okay, could be even be the Texas Bowl, or maybe it's in Birmingham. Then it's like, okay, Liberty Bowl, would love to have Tennessee come to West Tennessee and play in Memphis. And then you keep seeing it start to ramp up. Then it's the Music City Bowl, and now you've got Charlotte that's in the mix. You've got a couple of potential destinations in Florida, just as you were talking about what could be, you know, just upsetting the apple cart with all teams being in the mix, or so many teams being in the mix, if it doesn't go as projected right now, to where if you could pencil it in, many think that the SEC would get two in the college football playoff for the better part of the season, but now not so much, that if Georgia wins tomorrow in Atlanta, then there's a great likelihood that Alabama doesn't go to the college football playoff with a second loss.
Right. I do think, though, in terms of trying to fill in the puzzle pieces for everybody else, I don't think it would change too much. I would think that Alabama would definitely still be in a New Year's Six.
Correct.
Because they would get that automatic SEC spot in the Sugar Bowl. And then in that scenario, then Ole Miss has got to hope that there's an at-large left for them. So that would be a case where it would push them back. If Alabama wins and there's two in the playoff, then Ole Miss is definitely going to the Sugar Bowl. A couple of things, sort of.
Just a couple?
to piggyback what you were talking about. Out of my conversations with the Bull reps, John, I came out of it feeling more, and this is a lean, more like Tennessee will go to either Nashville or Charlotte more than Tampa or Jacksonville. Now, again, we don't know how it's going to play out. A lot of it will depend on who the team is on the other side. But I didn't hear the, I don't know, subtle or under the breath type of, man, we really want Tennessee type of thing. It was more like when they compliment Tennessee, they would bring up some other schools as well. The Outback, here's a thing that might surprise people. The Outback has had an SEC West team in its bowl the last 3 years. So you think, proximity, they're going to want to bring in an East team? 3 straight years of a West team. Now, the teams that are under consideration as a possibility from the West are farther west in Arkansas and A&M, who are the two eight-win teams. And then it depends on what the citrus does. Do they pick Kentucky like people think? I have a feeling that because the SEC, another thing that the Bulls really sort of emphasize is the league doesn't want to have too much of the hopping record type of thing.
Yeah.
So I that's another reason why I think 9-win for the Citrus Bowl and then the 2 8-win teams, I think those are going to be the ones that go to those Florida Bowls. Not saying that if things change that Tennessee can't get up there, but I think that's a little bit more likely of a scenario. And I kind of look at it as the pool of six, John. I know we got to get to break. I look at it sort of in three tiers of two. Out of that pool of six, they talk about how it's all even. That's not the case because those teams, those bowls in Florida, always get teams with a better record. So you may not want to declare that there's an order, but there's an order. So I think Outback and Gator are the first tier. I think Music City and Duke's Mayo are the second tier. And I think Liberty and Texas Bowl are the third tier.
And you mentioned that Tennessee was down in Jacksonville just a couple of years ago, and the reaction was that, I mean, folks in the Commonwealth were not happy.
Right.
Because Tennessee essentially leapfrogged Kentucky for that spot in the Taxslayer Bowl and then had the great rally to beat Indiana. But I do wonder, because there was the reaction that we saw to that, if, as you talked about, that once the college football playoff has made its selection and you know who's going to be the SEC representative in the Sugar Bowl, then primarily there is a heavy influence from the commissioner's office as to how it goes from there. And I do wonder if that's going to be any kind of factor for Tennessee not being able to leap into the Florida scenery, as opposed to being right where what would be more like the pecking order as to where Tennessee finished, East versus West, things like that, and landing in Charlotte and Nashville.
I think what if you were to hop a Tennessee over an Arkansas or an A&M, in order for the puzzle pieces to work, you got to look at, all right, how desirable are those teams for Charlotte and Nashville? And I went through and laid out the last time that each of these teams played in a specific bowl, and the last time Arkansas was in the Outback Bowl was never. They've never played there. Last time they were in the Gator was 1981. So Arkansas is going to travel with the way they improve this year. So that's one where a lot of those boxes are checked. It's not like they won't travel as well. So Music City 2002, it's been a while. So yeah. The Music City, I think, would like them also. Texas A&M. A&M, I don't know they would travel quite as much, but they've never been to the Outback Bowl either. So the Outback now is looking at, we have a new fan base, new experience for them.
Broaden the footprint.
That's right. Just like the league did. Music City was 2015 for them. They went to the Belk in 2018, which is now the Duke's Mayo. Gator in 2018. So now you start looking at, if the Citrus doesn't pick them, the one bowl in that area for an 8-win team that they haven't been in a while is the Outback. Music City 2015. So kind of look at it in that way when they're trying to make them all work. Those aren't guarantees, but I think they are noteworthy. And, I think those are all things that are important for Tennessee. Last time Tennessee was in the Gator, of course, 2019, Music City, 2016, Outback, 2015, Liberty, 1986, which you guys have talked about before. Never been in Charlotte for a bowl game. Obviously played in non-conference games there. Texas Bowl 1972, which is the blue bonnet at that point. So
the Astro Blue Bonnet.
The Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl, that's right. And the Citrus, even though I don't think it's going to happen, I don't think they would hop a 7-win team over a 9. Their last time they were in the Citrus was 2001. So Charlotte, Tennessee hasn't gone there. Still probably pretty high on Tennessee's list. That's why that might be a possibility for them. But then Music City, I mean, you know, that will always work for Tennessee. In 2016, it's not like it was that recent. So I did come out of my conversations feeling like a little bit more like they would kind of stick to record. And that's something that multiple bowl reps did mention, that they like to be able to say that they have ranked teams. Mm-hmm. teams with really good records, and then how the matchup plays out. They like to be able to brag about those things. And Tennessee, unless something changes, Tennessee's not going to be ranked going into after all these conference championship games. So those are just little things. They're not guarantees that might work towards keeping Tennessee out of Florida, but we'll see how it plays. I know personally I'm rooting for that, but you know, what happens this weekend can certainly change things.
We're here at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. Let's get to the phones where Ron joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Ron.
How are you guys?
Fine. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Hey, I just take a minute to mention a really good documentary on SEC Story the other night. It's called The Trials of Bobby Hoppy, and I think everybody would do well to watch it. If you don't know who Hoppy was, he's probably one of the 5 to 10 best athletes to come out of Chattanooga. Played at Central High, went and played at Auburn and was a star there. Played on the 57 national championship team. Played a few years in the NFL, went back home to Chattanooga and coached high school football. Well, the story goes that while he was at Auburn, he went home one weekend to visit, and when he went back to Auburn, something obviously happened. He became very much a recluse and a loner. It was obvious something was really bothering him. Not to give the story away, but he kept a secret for over 30 years. And 30 years later, the secret came out. And again, the title of the documentary is The Trials of Bobby Hoppy. Now, if you know the story, I'll tell you it's well worth your time to watch this. And if you don't know the story, this is one of Tennessee's own favorite sons. It'd be well worth your while to watch it. So I just wanted to mention that to get a plug into that show, and everybody needs to go watch it.
All right. Well, sure do appreciate that. Ron, thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend. Let's go next to Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, man. Who are some people maybe in the portal that we have a shot at right now? Is it fair to ask for any players like that, or do we not know yet about who would be in?
It is very early in the process. I do think Tennessee will have great interest. And, Vince, I don't think there's any question that as it's a week from Wednesday that we'll have the early signing period begin, that Tennessee's going to leave itself room to operate in regards to the transfer portal.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And there's so many, Steve, there's so many different positions that Tennessee could add that I do think there's a lot of guys. There's a number of guys from the state of Georgia that Tennessee will have interest in. You got to see connects to the previous staff, whether it's Heupel or any of the offensive coaches or defensive backs that Willie Martinez worked with at UCF, and they had relationships in recruiting, or Tim Banks at his time at Penn State. I mean, there's relationships built. And then in some cases, you know, like a Javonte Payton, there really wasn't as many ties to the previous staff that they can develop, and you know, the opportunity of what's happening here can boost them up. But you know, as far as high priority names, there was the Lynjay Dixon kid, the running back from Clemson. I think he went to West Virginia, but Tennessee, I don't think was really in the mix for him. I know fans were talking about him because you want a highly talented running back. I just think there's a lot of different directions that they can go, that they need depth in, that that list still is going to develop. And look, part of recruiting that they're doing right now, John, is not just the high school. I'm sure they're making connections with kids newly on the transfer portal.
Yeah, and it's one thing for somebody to say that they're entering the portal. It's another for those that have actually put themselves in it, because that's when you can reach out and contact them. And at the same time, Vince, they're still waiting on a couple of confirmations, whether it is somebody is going to come back to Knoxville next year that was a part of this year's team, or make the decision to move on. They still don't know from their own player ranks. And as you mentioned, that could add priority to a specific position group or one side of the football.
Or lessen the need for a player,
yes,
at that position the other way around. And then look, if there's guys that are thinking about the NFL, thinking about going back, thinking about transferring, and you know, they're high level players and they haven't made their decision yet, that can totally change where, you know, the types of schools that would be interested in them. So I still think it's very early in the process. I know we want clarity because the early signing period is not that far away, but I still think this is something that now that they're done with the season, it's going to start to ramp up.
Steve, we do appreciate the call. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We can tell you that set number one goes to Tennessee volleyball as the Lady Vols outscore North Carolina 25-20. They get the first set, and so two more to advance to the second round as they're taking on the Tar Heels in Columbus, Ohio. With Vince Ferrara, I'm John Wilkerson, and let's continue with phone calls as Arthur joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Arthur.
How are y'all today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm okay. I had seen recently that they were saying that Clemson and Tennessee could play in a bowl game. I would enjoy that very much.
I agree. I think some of those bowl projections might have been a few weeks ago where Clemson, before they finished off pretty strong, they may have moved up the pecking order a little bit. I guess there's still the potential for, you know, the Gator Bowl. That's part of the process. If there's a name versus name program matchup that's out there, that might be the difference maker and hop a team over another team. One example that one of the bowl reps used was Alabama and Michigan a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They didn't know that might play out, and then that was in front of them. They're like, okay, we got to make this work, and then the ratings delivered on that. So I'm guessing that will be awfully appealing not only to the bowls on site for attendance, bowl week, and money spent in their communities, but then also for TV ratings as well, even though it hasn't been the best of season for Clemson. I think that if you could make that happen, I think that might be something that could hop Tennessee in maybe a little bit closer towards Clemson. But otherwise, I do think Clemson has risen up and improved their status, because they were talking about them in like Charlotte or you know, even lower for Clemson. I think they've sort of moved up the ACC pecking order just a touch.
Yeah, finished with the same record as NC State and as well, and then just one game behind Wake Forest and Pitt.
Right.
I think it would be more likely that Tennessee would play a Miami or a North Carolina than you would see Tennessee and Clemson.
Yeah, I agree.
Care if I ask another question?
Sure.
Go right ahead.
I'm a Redskins fan. Always been a Redskins fan. I'm not changing the name or none of that other nonsense they want to do.
You've always been a football team fan, have you?
I've been a Redskins fan, and I will continue to be a Redskins fan. I don't have any of the Washington football team. I have Redskins stuff, and I will always continue to be a Redskins fan. And I think they have a good coach, and I think they're going to be they're getting better, and I think they have a chance to make the playoffs, because I think they can beat Philadelphia. I think they can beat Dallas, because Dallas' defense is not great. And if you can run the ball on Dallas, I think you can beat them. I think we can beat the Giants. We got a good chance of beating the Raiders, I believe.
Was it McKissick that got banged up the other night?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He's a tough one to lose.
But Gibson is the guy that's going to be a star, I think.
Well, I do think that he's – their best back, but I also think that you have kind of not necessarily a poor man's Alvin Kamara, but you have somebody who can carry the ball and catch the ball for you in McKissick. I just think his versatility is going to be tough to replace.
Yeah, when they have them both together, that's when they're at their best.
I don't disagree, but I think the boy that's a rookie, he played with Young in high school, and he played at Buffalo, and he begged the coaching staff to draft him as a later round guy. And he's got speed. He just hadn't had to show it. He's small. He's like 200 pounds. But I think you put him in space, he can go with the best of them.
Well, I'll say this. If it started today, your guys would be the 7 seed.
Yep.
So, Arthur, that's something to be said right there. And now we'll see if they can hang on to that spot. They're 5-2 in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're 5-6 overall. So the good news is apparently they're finished with the AFC.
Yeah, where they were winless.
Yeah.
So, and look, that division record matters in terms, excuse me, the conference record matters in terms of a tiebreaker. After this game at the Raiders this weekend, every other game is in the division. So, to the caller's point, they have the opportunity to make up ground and beat these teams. You have two of the Cowboys, two of the Eagles who aren't playing great all of a sudden, and then obviously the Giants aren't very good. So, it's there for them potentially to play better defense. We'll see. They won three in a row. Lost four in a row prior to that. It's the NFL, so teams can get hot and cold.
That's right, because they haven't finished, as you mentioned, with the AFC West. Because that's the genius of it. The 17th game, theirs was the Bills.
Right.
So I guess it was division winner against division winner. But, hey, good on them. But 0-4 so far against the AFC, and I do think that they can give the Raiders a run for their money, and I think they have a quarterback that just continues to get more and more confident.
Yeah, Heinicke has been impressive. He has swagger. Team believes in him and likes him. Terry McLaurin is such a great receiver. Defense is playing better. It's a shame they don't have Chase Young. You know, he's out for the year. So, they have a possibility, and as weak and average as the NFC is, they're below 500 and sitting at that 7 spot right now.
Let's talk to Chris. You're on Sports Talk. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my comment. Appreciate your show. Just wanted to make a prediction on the Vols bowl game. I think the Music City Bowl is a high probability, and I'm thinking either Penn State or Minnesota. Penn State is kind of a attraction, you know, being that James Franklin was coaching at Vandy at one time. Both teams, you know, have a very respectable tradition, but they've kind of been on a roller coaster the last few years. And they've played in each other in bowl games before and during the regular season. The other appealing thing would be even playing Minnesota. They've actually played Minnesota in a bowl game several years ago. And it would be interesting to have that kind of opportunity to watch, you know, the type of playing that a Big Ten team like that plays against a team that opens up the offense like Tennessee. I think the thing that kind of hurts Tennessee as far as bumping up is what happened to Florida, especially with the way Missouri beat them toward the end of the season. And I don't know how you get past that as far as a comparator, the way, you know, Tennessee played against Florida and the way Missouri beat Florida. So, but I think still the Music City Bowl is a good bowl game. Respectable. It gives them some, publicity. And thanks for taking my comment.
All right, Chris, sure do appreciate it.
No, I agree with Chris. If I had to sort of rank the probability where they would go, it would be Music City 1, Duke's Mayo 2, Outback 3, and Gator Bowl 4. And he hit on the two teams that I think are probably the most likely in Penn State and Minnesota. And if it's Minnesota, obviously P.J. Fleck, well thought of, it would be the return of Brick by Brick against Tennessee, because that's been one of his slogans in the past.
That's right. Row that boat.
So just to excite fans even more about that potential matchup.
Woo-hoo. Because I think that's what they're waiting for.
That's right.
Hey, as you were talking to bowl officials, were there many that just shared their impressions on what they've seen from Tennessee? Because as we talked about, Volunteers were projected for those that were thinking they would wind up in a bowl game. I think many had them in that 6-6 category.
Mm-hmm.
And then 7-5 is just a game above that, so it's not like they far exceeded expectations. But they met, I believe, what was the Vegas projection for their win total this year. They exceeded it because it was like 6.5, wasn't
right.
it?
Right.
Yeah. So, anyhow, it was right there middling that. But I just wonder if any of them shared what they saw out of Tennessee this year that perhaps might have been even more than they expected from this program.
No, not specifically on the field, but it was the, hey, everyone would love to have Tennessee, had an excellent season. Really didn't talk about necessarily how surprised they were or how much they exceeded it, but they are well aware of the draw for Tennessee. And I think – the way they sort of separated Tennessee is that some schools, it depends on the year and where, what their record was, what the circumstances are. Are they a team on the rise, or is it a disappointing season for them? Some fan bases will only travel if those are positives in their direction. Tennessee fans, I think, are gonna travel, especially if you're looking outside of the state of Tennessee. They're gonna travel pretty much regardless. So I think that was a sense that I got from them, that they were under consideration for sure, and everyone knows what they bring to the table. But again, this is the SEC does it differently in that the league will ultimately make the call despite the recommendations of the schools and the bowls, and then they'll make those puzzle pieces work, try to make as many people happy as possible. And we're probably not going to know until Sunday afternoon. But after all these conference championship games, I think there might be a little bit more clarity after that.
We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to this hour of Sports Talk. We can tell you that the Lady Vols in volleyball won the first set against North Carolina. They lead in the second set 13-9, Tennessee serving with a four-point advantage. And as far as the state championship games, last we saw, I believe it was McKenzie and South Pittsburgh were tied at 14 in the fourth quarter. We'll see if we can get you an update on that. Final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara, and let's work in a call from Roger. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Roger.
Well, hey, John. Hey, Vince. How y'all doing? How y'all doing tonight?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Good, Roger. Good to hear from you.
It's good to hear you too, Vince. You can talk to you. I just wanted to ask you a question real quick. First of all, I'll ask you about the man. I know a man played tomorrow. I just want to ask you first. I got a question about the coaching thing, but first of all, ask you real quick about the game tomorrow. How you think Tennessee going? I know Tennessee playing a Florida tomorrow, Manager tomorrow. I just want to ask you about that. How you think Tennessee going to do tomorrow?
Well, I'm interested to see it. Interested to see it, Roger, simply for the fact that this is the first true road game for Tennessee. They went and there were a lot of fans for Villanova and a lot of fans for North Carolina in the stands in Connecticut. But, Vince, it's always different when you go into somebody's place.
Right.
And that's what they do with the Buffaloes.
Yeah, and actually in my Vol Network pregame interview with Uroš Plavčić, we talked about him having gone to that arena before when he was at Arizona State, and he had something very interesting to say about that. So that'll be before tomorrow's tip. But it's a step up in competition. Colorado's played a couple of good teams, Power 5 teams, Stanford, who they beat, and then they lost to number 5 UCLA. So they have a couple of games against top level competition. That's the same thing for Tennessee. Tennessee played a couple of games against top competition. Otherwise, it's the usual non conference games.
Okay. And also about the Johnson Vince, about Ordain, man. I know Brian Kelly, LSU coach. Brian Kelly, he lived at Ordain to LSU. Just want to ask you about that. I was proud about it. We Johnson proud. I know you, John. Basically, I know both of y'all. But I was proud about him leaving and go to LSU. Like that. I just want to ask you, would you both surprised by him leaving and you know why he left for?
Yeah, he thinks that LSU gives him a better chance to win, and I think he's right. You don't have the same restrictions in place at LSU that you do at Notre Dame, where you have to meet certain now, granted, they do have academic standards to meet. They're just not as lofty as they are to get into Notre Dame, because he was hoping for more and more exceptions that just never really came his way. So I think he views the ability to go be the big dog at LSU in a talent-rich state gives him the opportunity to compete for an SEC Western Division crown and a national championship, because the last three head coaches at LSU, Saban okay, but Les Miles and Ed Orgeron, they've all won championships.
Right. Despite not being elite coaches in the profession, with all of the talent that's in their backyard. So it is their avenue. Another reason is because of all the money they threw at them.
Yes.
So
10 years, $95 million.
Yeah.
Scott Gropp money.
Right. Exactly. Minus the fake Southern accent.
Yes. That, Scott's is real.
This is true. This is true. Again. So are the sideburns.
Well, Thank you very much.
Yes. So here we are, and again, it's Max Pan, Maximum Pandemonium, here at Oak Ridge Nissan, because the year-end clearance is going on, and the selection is out of this world.
It is. I'm telling you. It has been Max Pan all day, having a great day, and I'll tell you, folks, if you can't get in tonight, you want to make that 10-minute drive this weekend while we've got great selection. Santa just dropped off a sack full of goodies here, and I'm telling you, and the colors, oh, I'm just telling you, we've got all the colors you want, the trim levels, you know, SSV, SL, Platinum, whatever you're looking for, we've got them here, and it's really, you know, a buyer's market. So you get in here. Our general manager, John McConaughey, just took off and said, well, what kind of prices are we doing? All he usually just has one answer. It's always low. I said, okay. And so away we go, and I'll tell you, we got multiple deals working, and we're just thankful. And one thing I wanted to say, if you got a trade, folks, you got it made. Listen, if other dealers have said you owe too much, remember, like we said earlier, you get more for yours, you pay less for ours, but up to $8,000 over Kelley Blue Book, so we can pay it off no matter what you owe. I don't know how many dealers, our competition sent a customer over here, said they didn't have a trade, so they wouldn't, you know, sell them a car. We accommodated them. That's what we do. Number one in the state for a reason.
Hey, your service department is number one, too. Talk about them.
I'll tell you what. They are amazing folks back there. You want to make that drive. You're going to get treated well before, during, and after. Ken Absher, J.P. Anderson, David Jimenez, Tracy back there and company. I'm telling you, great staff. David Traverse, I'm just telling you, you make the drive. We've got awesome techs, and our service riders will take great care of you. They come from out of the woodwork. They drive from everywhere. Morgan County, Sevier County, Knox County. I mean, they come from everywhere to get taken care of here.
Of course, if folks are trading in, then they're just getting a deal when it comes to how much you're going over Kelley Blue Book, it's just as long as they can get that sled here, right?
I'm telling you. I have to tell you what, if they can't get it here, it's okay. Just get the VIN number off there for me, and we'll do the rest. I'm telling you. It's our year-end clearance, folks. You don't want to miss this. We've been number one all month, all year. Last month, last year, the year before. I mean, this is what we do, and there's a reason. The math is so easy, like John says over and over. More for yours plus less for ours equals you saving thousands of dollars. And you know, at year-end, we're just pulling all the stops.
That's right. And it's so easy to get here. 10 minutes, save thousands. And Scott, we always appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. We'll see you all here this weekend.
Thanks, Scott. Make the drive right here where Illinois Avenue meets the Turnpike at Oak Ridge Nissan. Coming up, hour number four of Sports Talk. It starts with your chance to win with a Sports Fix at 6 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.